Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Greetings all. You're coming from New Zealand, from the Wairarapa, and this is Arrow Radio FM. And today we have our two hosts again, myself, Margaret Crawford, and Anna-Marie Kingsley. Hello, Anna-Marie.
Hello.
We are still talking about dramas and crises, but at the moment we're talking about short term, usually it's nature, so we won't talk quite yet about man-made, although this will come into it in an obscure way. Yeah. And today we're going to talk about flooding. Now, New Zealand and many parts of the world are experiencing severe floods, usually storms, and then various other aspects happen. So, Anna-Marie, do you want to start talking about perhaps how we start saying flooding? What do we have to do first? We have to check maps and...
Yes, there's a... If you're going to buy a house, nip along to your local council and just check the flood risk, you know, the hazard maps. They've usually got quite a good sort of database where you can actually look on a computer and they'll actually show you where the floodplains are, where all little creeks are, even little underground streams, because sometimes they can lurk up. And that'll give you a good indication of whether your property is actually at risk, even if it's just a part of your property. Okay. And then you're aware that if there's a big flood, you know, you're looking at the weather all the time. We look at the weather every single night.
My husband looks three times.
Yes, indeed. You know. So if there is a flood coming, then if you've got little animals on your farm or something, then you can get them out of that potential risk.
Yes. Now, getting back to those maps, this is developed in the last 50 years or so. So prior to that, people went by what they looked at.
Well, they probably listened to Grandad.
Oh, they listened to Grandad.
Yes.
Or great-granddad.
Yeah. Yep.
But they were aware that certain... You didn't go and build on the riverbank, or you didn't go and build on the edge of a cliff, or... Mind you, I've got a lovely friend who is on the edge of a cliff.
Might be all rock, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. The house is slightly further back, but I could see it disappearing into Nelson Lake, you know. Yeah, anyway.
Anything with a view.
Yeah, I know. So you just bring up something that's quite important. People often want to build because of views or access to things and don't look at the map.
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, when you apply for a building consent now, the regional council is usually in the room with you, and they will bring up their maps for any natural hazards, and they're getting more and more and more of those things detailed on their maps. So they can go, actually, like with us, we had four earthquake things coming through our property. And if you're prone to flooding, then they'll go, actually, you can't build here because this is a floodplain. Or this used to be a swamp. Or this used to be a sort of an old riverbed. So you've got to be very careful of what those natural hazards are.
So that knowledge is actually available. That's what I'm stating.
Prepare
yourself for a potential flood.
Yes, indeed. Okay. And you know, if we're looking at flooding, that one of the reasons why the floods are getting worse is because as the planet quietly heats up, the extra heat in that atmosphere means that the air in the atmosphere is able to contain so much more water, and it's an amazing amount of water that it holds. So when that happens, and you have these cyclones come down from the tropics, especially in New Zealand's case, the amount of water that they have in that atmosphere is huge. It's way bigger than it ever used to be. That's why we're getting these bigger flood events.
Okay. And so the floods are increased. Because I've noticed in the last 2-3 years, the rain is different. You know, it's heavier.
Yeah.
So, living in New Zealand, suddenly we get this. We've always had overcast and slightly cold, you know.
Mm.
Actually quite cold. But the rain is heavier. And it reminded me of on a tropic island, when they rain, it comes down in buckets.
Yeah. And that's why it does that there, because they're warmer.
Yep.
Their atmosphere is holding a lot more water too.
So rain brings those sort of floods,
yeah,
which then also ends up in things like dams and whatever. Yes. So we can get a LIM report, which is
yes. That's if you're going to be buying a house.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be putting a house on a property, then
right.
Then there's certain hoops you have to jump through.
So a LIM is a land information memorandum,
yeah,
which all houses should have.
Yes, they do. Yes. No, the councils
work. And this will be different in different countries, but this is New Zealand at the moment. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's right. Mm.
And then, so you have to know the history. We talked about that. Yep. That use your grandpa or talk to. Well, I suppose if you talk to other people who live there, they might deny any knowledge that it all washed away yesterday.
Well, I should have listened to my father-in-law when he were talking about we were going to put our house on the family land. And he said, well, that particular point is the windiest spot on the entire farm.
So did you build there?
Yeah, we did.
But you have a wind turbine, so I suppose it's sort of used what you've got there.
Yeah.
And now I'm always fascinated. You know, I grew up in South Africa and the houses are brick.
Right.
Not to say that doesn't flood, because in the last few years, Cape Town, where we live near, has flooded unbelievably. Now, the structure of Cape Town, or the land layout, is there's two ranges of mountains. There's Table Mountain and a whole lot of little mountains. Then there's a flat area, and then there's a whole range of mountains. And the flat area is called the Cape Flats. Strange enough, very descriptive. But it's sand, and it's low-lying, and that floods unbelievably. In fact, the one organisation I worked with was CAFDA, Cape Flats Distress Association, which was set up because of the floods in the 1940s. But since then, they built stormwater drains, but they don't empty quick enough.
Yeah.
So you get whole areas that, and even near the mountains now, it's flooding. Mm. So it is climate. Do I mention the word climate? Climate change is much heavier. And so the water, there's a lot more water going on. And, of course, Cape Town's surrounded by oceans, two oceans. So, but in New Zealand, what fascinates me is the building material, because I don't think it's built for floods.
The wood? That's a good question, actually. We're on piles, sort of thing.
So we can flow underneath.
Where it's a lot better to have a wooden house than a brick house and an
earthquake. Oh, an earthquake, yes, okay.
An earthquake.
So that's a positive.
So, yeah, and the wind and things, it can. It's a lot. Wooden houses move a lot more.
I noticed.
So, yeah, but they're not likely to fall on you, technically. So, yeah.
If we're talking about building material and stuff, we're rather jumping, but. Let's go back to if we know that there's going to be heavy rains, what are the things we should be doing?
Well, first thing to do, which is pretty obvious, is clean your gutter out. Ah. Clean out your gutters, clean out your drains. It's tricky in autumn because the leaves are falling down.
I was going to say.
If you get a heap of rain, often the leaves will come off the trees if they're about ready to fall.
Yep.
So you end up with issues with that. But do keep your drains clear. Don't just stand there going, why is the council not doing this?
And then like in the road and things?
Yeah, on the road. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. You know, if your road's going, I mean, obviously there is massive amounts of water, and cleaning the leaves out of your drain isn't really going to help that, but it can certainly help that build up of water in a static situation. Water coming rushing in the back door and going out the front door down your hallway, a couple of block drains isn't going to have saved that one. But for that rain that comes up and up and up and up, sometimes that's because it can't drain away.
Yes.
And that's the...
And, also culverts and things like that.
Yeah.
If you've got something at the end of the road where it's going under the road and someone throws rubbish blocking it, you need to keep an eye on that. Yes.
So I think take responsibility for your neighbourhood. The council cannot get around everything all of the time. You know, they've been constantly stretched with the amount of rates that they have and trying to fulfil everybody's needs. So if you can just take a little bit of personal responsibility, get out there with a shovel if you can, and clean out your drains.
Yeah.
You know, just keep them clean, and then that will just make you a little bit more resilient to those heavy rainfalls and things. One of the big issues with towns is because we tend to concrete and asphalt everything, we end up with not a lot of permeable substrates for water to move through.
Yes.
So in a certain towns, they will actually have their waterways will actually be made out of kind of rock or sand or scoria, so that the water, when it gets into it, then goes down.
Down. Okay. Yes. Through. Yes.
Because you really don't want your stormwater system to be overwhelmed. That's what usually happens. You've got a huge amount of water going through a very small pipe.
Yes.
And it just can't cope, and it just falls up, and then it gets blocked up with whatever, and then,
Yes.
So
yes, and also, well, I mean, this is a little sideline. I've always thought houses that have concrete around are too hot and
oh, yes.
You know, and all
yes.
those things. And the other thing is I've always liked gravel around the house, not only for things, but I have a thing about people who creep around your house at night.
Oh, and then they're crashing.
You know, so they I'm sorry, or wild animals, or motor cars, or something. But it. But I understand the drainage story.
Yes.
Because
yes,
yeah. if you live in a concrete environment, mm. you're going to have issues with water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what else have we got? Make sure, you know, if there is a flood coming, get all your electrical points up off the floor. You know, you need to make
you're sure looking around this old house, like, oh, God. They're all quite low.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, when you see somebody's house that's been flooded, it's a bit grim. It's sort of yeah. But it's sort of it's with water, especially outside as well. Make sure all your electrical things are up off the ground.
Yes.
Because water and electricity don't mix.
No.
The thing. You know, you step under that, and it's going to end very badly.
Yes.
And there's an odd one where you can do to you can have. Like, say your house does get flooded. If you've got flood-resistant materials in your house, like replace the MDF, which is that kind of compressed
wood, yes.
And the particle board with your cabinets, especially in bathrooms, you often find that bathrooms' cabinets get very badly damaged. If you've got little kids in a bath,
yes.
You know, they will often the cabinets will expand, and it's because they're made out of a particle
board. Oh, and they get really steam and stuff, yes.
It's mainly water. Children flap all yeah, the water yeah. around the bathroom. If you can replace those with solid timber, stainless steel or plastic, and use tiles and stone instead of carpet, especially if things are vulnerable. If you've got a low-lying room, a lot of people have kind of garages they've turned into sleep outs and things.
Yes.
Often quite low to the ground.
Yes.
They haven't been raised up. So if you put tiles in there or like sort of that sort of pseudo wood.
Oh, that'll seal it and the water will stay there.
It just means you haven't got carpet in there. So if it does flood, then you're not having to cope with this horrendously soggy carpet that you've got to drag out and get rid of.
But what you're saying, if you put tiles down, is that good or bad?
It's good.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. With your wall linings, if you're repairing or building, put your jib on horizontal, not vertical, because if a flood comes through...
you just take the bottom part off.
You just take the bottom part off, not the top part, because jib is damaged by...
Yes. I've got a little smile here, because this is, again, a South African story. When we were children, we went with two families down to a holiday batch, you see, and it was very old. And there's a whole long thing about there wasn't a fridge and ice and all these things. Anyway, it had jib, you see. But years later, when I was at university, a group, we decided we're going to go, and we knew the lady who could get access to this. She didn't tell us there'd been a flood in between. When we opened the door, at least a meter up was rotted. All the way through the house. They'd obviously.
Oh, no.
And she hadn't said anything that the furniture hadn't been removed. So there were rotting furniture and rotting things like mattresses.
Oh, no.
But what hit me was you could tell where the flood had been was this mark.
Yep.
You know, and it was on the riverbank, I have to say. But that to me was the first time I'd ever seen what happens inside a house when the water goes through.
Yes, it can be a bit dire, actually. And you also need to remember that especially if you're in an urban environment, a lot of that water is full of sewage.
Oh, yes,
So that makes everything's contaminated. In the rural situation, not quite so much, but often there is a lot of, like, animal manure that gets washed through as well, depending on where it's coming from. So it's not good. Floods are not good to go through your house. They can be really quite devastating. No. Up there with a fire, to be honest.
So this whole thing about, you know, water rushing through, we're probably going to talk about sandbags and things, but that's just further on. So the type of material in the house can lead to a lot of damage.
Mm. Yeah, if you have to replace all your carpets, that's hard work. And not only are you utterly devastated, your house has been flooded, now you've got to pull all your carpet out.
And probably your soft furnishings.
Yeah, yep. All your sofas are contaminated. Your beds are contaminated, you know, it's not...
So in other words, it's dump material.
Yes, yeah. It's
not. That's quite shocking, actually.
Yeah.
When you think of it.
It doesn't help with the landfill. Talking about sandbags, people go, oh, we need sandbags, and expect the council to bring in a big pile of sand and provide them all with bags. you can be resilient about this. Most people have got children somewhere. They've either got your own children, you've got grandchildren, you've got nieces or nephews or something. If you've got the room, put a big sand pit in your backyard. They're fantastic for kids to keep them entertained, have it close to windows so you can look out and watch them while you're drinking your glass of wine. But the thing about a big sand pit is that provides an awful lot of sand for sandbags.
Oh, yes, okay.
And then so you have a little thing of sand, little bags somewhere, you know, and then you, when you can hear a flood coming, instead of having to leap in your car and rush off down and fill up sandbags down at the community centre, you can actually do it out of your back garden. The bags,
I love these little hints.
Bags flat pack. You know,
yes.
They flat pack. They're really easy. And you can use all sorts of things. You can use rice sacks. You can use old feed bags.
Old compost bags. If you've got,
compost bags. You can use all sorts of things.
Something heavy duty.
Something heavy duty. Well, you only need to use it once because then you can gather the bags up again.
Okay,
you just empty the sand back into the kiddie's sand pit.
And just remember to cover the sand pit at night because the cats use it.
Well, yeah. We grew up teething on cat doo-doos, but...
Now listen, you're one of those toughies. I should mention at this point, Anna Marie lives out more. I would call your place a farm.
A lifestyle block. Very
a lifestyle
large,
block.
Very large
so
lifestyle
she
block,
she yeah. She's very self-sufficient. I live in the town, and I've got no grandchildren that live nearby. But we have got a school over the fence. I wonder if I should ask them. They've got a large sandpit. No, I doubt it. But yes, we'll have to look for a corner where we can have a sandpit. But yes, so that's actually a brilliant idea. Yeah. Your old bags.
Even a cutting bed. You know, like I have a big cutting bed that I have in one of my shade houses that's full of sand.
Okay.
You know, so if we need sand.
Oh, like river sand sort of thing?
River sand, yep. I do my cuttings in river sand. So that I can use for sandbags. And we have done it. We did have to sandbag our fish pond one year. We got a culvert that blocked. Now we clean that culvert out, make sure there's no.
Yes, so that was another one of preparation.
And it flooded backwards and took out the fish ponds, you know, just overflowed the fish ponds.
So the fish just
because I couldn't see what was happening because the water was so dirty and I wasn't sure where my fish were. So we released the culvert and then I see my gorgeous little goldfish, which I spent quite a lot of money on, flip-flapping down the rapids through the culvert. But... They swam back because the culvert was a drainage. It wasn't going to go into a creek or anything. And then that particular type of goldfish, they will die in the wild anyway. It was just going to end up on a paddock. And I was so upset. But then they all swam back.
Oh,
as the water went down, I could see it. So then we spent the next 2 hours up to our waist in water with a net rescuing these little goldfish and popping them back into the pond. But we had to sandbag our little pond to make sure that it was quite
a big pond. So you see these pictures overseas when, you know, I was thinking in Britain they've had bad flooding can occur in where there's like a valley or something where water's rushing down.
Yep.
So you need to know where's the water coming from. It's no good making a dam by mistake. You know, for heaven's sake, work out the way the water's coming. Or if you want to do it like businesses often do, they do it in front of the doors and things.
Yes,
because we're talking about houses.
Yeah,
but a flood in a shop is unbelievably destructive.
And it can either come through the roof if your roof collapses, or it can come in under the door. So if you've got sandbags and towels, you put towels on one side, sandbags on the other, that stops a lot of that wave action, especially when cars are going past.
Yes.
It's that wave action that pushes it through.
Yes.
So if you can sandbag things, that makes a really big difference.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It can stop amount of water that's coming through. So then you're just hopefully squishing
it. I'm glad you mentioned the wave thing. We're going to talk about mad people, what they do.
Yeah.
You know, we've got what's our percentage?
You've got
10%
who prepare. 10% of people who are prepared. 10% of people who are completely and utterly hysterical, and 80% of people who just sit there going, duh.
And want everyone to help.
Yeah.
But the mad ones who are panicking, get in a car, drive through water, creating waves
going really fast.
That disappear into other people's homes and businesses. And water's very strong when it starts moving.
It is, yes. I mean, that's, you know, there's a whole bunch of safety things here too.
So
anything over 15 centimetres, which is kind of just over ankle depth, if it's moving fast, you're going to get swept off your feet.
Yes.
Don't go and stand in the flood water.
I know.
Don't play in the flood water. And I know it looks really, really, really fun to get out there with your little wakeboard.
With your little rubber boat and all the rest.
Rubber boat's okay, but don't drink it. But to play in big puddles on the side of the road is often they've got sewerage in them.
Yes.
And now you can be really resilient if you want to, but yes. It's not really a good thing to do. So I think, you know, if there's a cyclone imminent or a big flood coming or a big weather watch and things, I mean, sometimes these things happen really unexpectedly.
And fast.
And really fast. And with big thunderstorms, they can be extremely localised.
Yeah.
And you can just have one suburb in a city being affected very, very badly.
Mm.
It often happens in the middle of the night for some bizarre reason. I don't know why.
Temperature changing.
I don't know, but it can be scary.
You wake
up in the middle of the night, the power's out, and you can hear this rushing noise, and it turns out it's your living room. And so you need to have a plan. You need to discuss these things, what you're actually going to do,
how
you're going to get out. If you see the weather warning coming and they're telling you to evacuate, make sure you do. Don't just sit there waiting for the water to come through your living room. Make sure you actually have somewhere to go. And do it earlier rather than later.
Yeah.
Go and stay with grandma. Go and stay with friends at a hire.
And also warn your neighbours.
Yes.
Because I think that's something we don't always think about, that there might be someone who is a heavy sleeper who's not, then go and bang on their door or phone them or whatever.
Yeah.
And say, are you all right? You know, time to get out.
Yep. Have a community plan.
Yeah.
Make sure that, you know, sometimes there's an elderly person who just can't get out.
That's right.
You've
got to think of that too. Especially where we're talking from Carlton, we have street, the person who keeps an eye on everybody.
Neighbourhood watch.
Neighbourhood watch. Yep. And it's really important. Sometimes you think, oh, it's so invasive. I would rather want someone to know where I am than not, you know, and to be able to say, are you all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have to check with your neighbours. We have to assume contamination. I always forget about that because you think water's just clean. It's not.
No.
Water's never clean. Yeah.
It's not. It's come out of some very strange places sometimes.
Yeah. And listen to the radio if you need to, but also use your common sense.
Mm.
I know people have moaned, oh, they haven't had a warning. Well, sometimes, as you say, it comes so quickly.
Oh, after the COVID thing. People started stop listening to radios and what they term mainstream media because they felt as that was all propaganda. And it's like, it's a cyclone, you know. It's not necessarily is it actually propaganda.
Yeah.
And then to sit there and complain that you didn't have a warning.
Yes.
Is really, really daft. That's not helpful, and it's blaming.
It's always a lovely blame game. But when we start, we'll talk in one of our later programs about things to have, and one of them is a radio.
Yes.
You'll be surprised how many people don't listen to the radio.
Indeed.
Or don't have one even.
Even just your phone, you know. Your
phone's your radio.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, we can now get alerts on our phone.
Well, that's right. It's a bit frightening when three phones go off at the same time, you know.
It's quite loud.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. One thing you do need to be aware of with the little radios, if you're going to get one of those wind-up emergency radios, make sure it's a really good quality, quite expensive one. And check the reviews. The little ones that you get that you buy off Etsy or Temu or whatever, they're not going to work. They're going to work once, but you can sit there winding. They're not a good quality thing. The battery.
I know. I've got three of those.
Right. Oh dear. Whoops.
But I've got a good old-fashioned battery one too.
Right.
Which you keep the batteries out of it, but next to it because your batteries will go.
Yes.
But yes, so. If we talk, we're going to start getting towards the end. So let's do a summary. Flooding is sudden.
Yes.
Very often sudden.
Yep, indeed.
It's devastating.
Yes.
The way your house is sited can be prevented.
Yes.
But if it isn't, just be aware. You might have to take a bit more about the sand put in the back garden and the bags.
Yes.
And?
Well, there's other thing. Don't drive through floodwaters. You know, my family did this a while ago. They had two appointments that on the day of a big flood, they still decided to, they needed to go to them. Instead of ringing up and going, look, I don't need to have this repair done on my car today because there's been a avoid all unnecessary travel ban on our area, they leapt into their vehicles and drove off through the floodwaters. For something that was completely and utterly
unnecessary. And did they get stuck somewhere?
No, they didn't, because they had big four-wheel drives. But that thinking that I need to do this because it's on my calendar is really daft.
Oh, I must tell my husband that.
I hope they're not listening to this radio.
Yes.
But to me, I couldn't believe it. I was absolutely astounded that they risked their children to drive through these floodwaters because they didn't think, I just need to change the date. I just need to ring them
That's
up and
right.
say, look, we're really sorry, we've been flooded out. Can we make another date? Yeah.
Yes, it's emergency and one has to listen to it.
If you get washed off the road, not only have you put a whole bunch of people at risk, including yourselves, you're sucking up resources from the ambulances and the fire brigade and whoever else has to come and rescue you. And to me, it's a bit daft. So use your common sense.
Yeah.
Don't do silly stuff. Don't leap in your car and rush off to get supplies as the floodwaters are rising.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit late for that. You need to kind of... And also, you don't need to have bread and milk. There's other stuff in your fridge. You know, we have this thing about I will continue to reiterate, you don't need to keep eating normally.
Yeah.
You know, that's not... It's an emergency.
It's an emergency. It's an emergency. Absolutely emergency.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, no.
Yeah.
Are we going to have some lovely discussions about our little emergency packs later on? But the other thing we didn't really cover was post-flooding, and we haven't really got time in this program. But we can maybe just mention in the next one, post-flooding, when you start cleaning up, what you've got to start thinking about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start ending up and saying thank you, Anna-Marie, for our floods of information.
Oh, goodness me, she's on fire.
Yes. She's, sorry, I'm awake. I'm awake today.
I should have said, as a deluge.
As a deluge. Thanks again.